Well, I think if it's a good business, then it can grow, it can, and it can bring more good things to more people. A good business is something great that provides something that wouldn't exist otherwise.
And it doesn't mean self-love is not just only positivity towards yourself, it's really also helping yourself heal. It's also being able to hold your pain and being able to look at your heartbreak and your sadness and heal.
Herzlich willkommen bei Personality Talks, deinem Podcast für ein freies und inspiriertes Leben voller Persönlichkeit. Ich bin Simone Lopez Sanchez, Chefredakteurin und Co-Gründerin des Online-Magazins Personality Mag, Yoga-Lehrerin, Texterin und psychodynamischer Coach. Zusammen mit meiner Freundin Sabine Köhnlein habe ich Personality Mag gegründet, ein Online-Magazin rund um Persönlichkeitsentwicklung, Yoga, Coaching, Self-Care und Wellbeing. Hier im Podcast treffe ich spannende Persönlichkeiten und ExpertInnen zum Gespräch. Menschen, die mich interessieren und die mir mehr über ihren Beruf und ihre Passion verraten und die mich mitnehmen in ihr Leben und ihre Denkweise. Warum? Weil wir fest daran glauben, dass man aus den Geschichten anderer Menschen viel lernen kann. Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Folge Personality Talks. Meine heutigen Gäste sind gleich zwei Frauen und das passt wunderbar, denn heute am Tag der Aufnahme ist der Weltfrauentag. Meine Gäste, Henrike Fröchling und Esther Eckert, beide Gründerinnen von Yoga-Plattformen, die sich zusammengetan haben, um euch Yogis da draußen ein noch internationaleres Yoga-Online-Angebot zu erschaffen, was auch schon wunderbar funktioniert hat. Wir sprechen in dieser Folge darüber, was es in der heutigen Zeit bedeutet, eine Frau zu sein, wie die beiden eigentlich zusammengefunden haben und wie dann auch die Idee entstanden ist, aus diesem tollen Angebot, also den deutschen Online-Yoga-Videos und den internationalen, ein Angebot zu machen, was sich verändert hat, seit sie zusammenarbeiten, was sich überhaupt verändert, wenn Frauen führen und auch Business machen, was sie voneinander gelernt haben und was ihnen Yoga bedeutet, wie Yoga auch das Business verändert hat und welche Prinzipien von Yoga tatsächlich im täglichen Arbeitsleben eine Rolle spielen und was vielleicht bei einem Yoga-Unternehmen anders läuft als in klassischen Unternehmen. Ich wünsche euch ganz viel Freude mit den sympathischen Gründerinnen Henrike Fröchling und Esther Eckert. Dieses Gespräch ist auf Englisch. Viel Freude! So today we have a special episode and I'm really happy because it's also a special day. It's World Women's Day and I'm really happy to have Henrike Fröchling and Esther Eckert from Yoga Easy here. Hello.
Hello, Simone.
Hi, Simone.
Hello. Nice to meet both of you. So for sure, we want to talk about Yoga Easy. We want to talk about online yoga. We want to talk about yoga, but we also want to talk about women and this special day that we have. And I was thinking, what do you embrace about being a woman these days? Henrike, I start with you.
Yes, I'm 57 years old now. So I've been a woman for quite some time now. And I notice that it's become more and more easy to embrace being a woman for me, the older I get. So when I started, childhood and school and university were really, I didn't think about it that much, I guess. And then the first years of work, you sort of wake up and realize that it would be sometimes easier to be a man, maybe. Still like being a woman, but it was more like trying to... not fight it, but it was more, not such an advantage I felt. And then as I grow older, I think I've become more female, like I embrace it more, I enjoy it more, it's become easier, and I see how easy it can be, and I'm really enjoying it even more than before. That's nice. And for you, Esther?
Yeah, so I have been a woman for 51 years of and I think it's been an interesting process to understand what it is to be a woman in business. Because I never even thought about it before I became it. And then I noticed, indeed, hey, sometimes it's a difference. People talk to my husband, they don't talk to me. You know, if sometimes the eyes go to my husband when he's next to me while I'm the person that they should be talking to. These small things. But they've been frustrating, but I've always enjoyed being the softer, more sensitive part of the business as well, like still being able to make decisions, but in a way, I think female quality of maybe leaning back a little bit, taking it in, giving it a bit of time, whatever is said to you or whatever people feel around you, and coming from a more, how do you say that? There's a woman in the menopause here too with having some issues finding words. I'm also embracing that part of being a woman at the moment and being okay with that. So yeah, more where it just lands, and I take a moment to let it settle before I respond. Is there a word for that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that, and I'm really enjoying that quality, and I've always enjoyed that quality. So maybe not responding straight away, not reacting straight away.
So to be a little bit more patient, is it that what you mean?
It's patience, I think, but also not the need to immediately
react
and be on top, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. give value immediately, but just let it mm-hmm. let it sit for a moment. And and in this way, I think being better able to handle relationships, you know, work relationships, yeah. and with people and what's going on. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also the decision gets better that way, right, Esther? If you give it more time. So I also think that's a typically a female quality of not having to appear strong by immediately knowing the way, but guiding the discussion and guiding the decision-making process to get to the best solution. Yeah. And not thinking that there needs to be leadership by always knowing best.
Exactly. There's not an immediate solution needed. I've often also been able to show, and I still like that, like, I don't know, or let me think about this, or let's leave this for a moment, or, you know, how do you feel about it? And asking more questions and letting people, I think that receptive, that's maybe the word I was looking for, that receptive quality of receiving it first and trying to get the whole picture, the bigger picture, and then what comes out of that.
Mm-hmm. I'm smiling a lot because good to know, that's what I need to learn in the next 10 years, because I just got 40 and I realized that is something I'm not so good at. That's why I was smiling so much all the time. So, Henrike, you founded Yoga Easy. Esther, you founded Eckhart Yoga, which was or is a Dutch platform. You are explaining that perhaps now a little bit. And my question is, how did you two get together? So did you get together by first knowing each other in a private way? Did you get together directly over the business contact? Take us a little bit into the story of coming together.
Yeah, maybe I can start with that one. We actually founded our businesses at roughly around the same time, so around 2009, 2010. So when I started, I was aware of Eckhart Yoga It was a purely YouTube, taking place on YouTube, a YouTube channel. And I was starting Yoga Easy as a subscription model on the web right away. So it's a very nice thing, I think, to, you know, having developed our businesses for 10 years and being aware. I think as I was aware of Yoga Easy at some point as well. But then only last year, actually 2 years ago, I started to build, have an idea of European expansion strategy. So I thought, well, Yoga Easy is pretty strong in the German-speaking market. But of course, we compete with all the bigger platforms, the international platforms. So why not have Yoga Easy grow into a yoga European family of online yoga platforms that have sort of the same values of offering authentic yoga and so on? So Eckhart Yoga, and I just started having that thought and thought maybe I can talk to a few people and see what they think, even before having the firm plan about it. You need to learn, right? A strategy starts forming, you need to get more information, get other people's advice and opinion. So I think I just wrote to you, Esther, right? On LinkedIn or something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, email or LinkedIn message came and literally just, let's have a chat. So that's what we did. Yeah. So we had a chat, we got to know each other. And then looking at how can we, make each other stronger.
Yeah, and of course for us that was a good thing for the first step to be an English language platform, as Esther, as Eckhart Yoga is. So that was just a perfect match. We both liked each other, or at least I can say it for myself, liked each other immediately. And I mean, now we've merged almost a year ago and everything has gone smoothly. I have to knock on wood, but okay. It's really, I think, not so usual that a merger like that goes so smoothly. And we adjust the values, the content, the everything that we dive deeper into, it's just a good match.
Yes. And for me personally, it came at the right time because I was also ready. For me, you know, one of the more difficult parts of setting up or founding this business has always been I'm a teacher and then there's the business part. So I was so happy to, give the business part more or less away and remain mostly as the teacher. So mm-hmm. that was perfect timing.
Do you think it was smooth or it is still smooth because of the topic that it turns around, or because both of you are having this yoga experience, this mindset? Or would you say, no, not at all. It's not about the topic. It's not about the yoga background. It is because we got to know each other. We understood each other. We liked each other. And we are going through that merge as women are doing it now in 2024.
Maybe it's all of it. I think it can be all of that. I think, of course, the topic attracts certain people, you'd hope, and that does, yeah. in our case. And and then there's personalities, of course, that match, and especially values, company values that match, personal values, company values. And I think we both looked at that. We both made that a priority, you know, not the business aspect. I mean, not that it's unimportant, but I mean, business-wise, you can only move together forward if there is, if these other things are right. Otherwise, I think we both have enough experience that things can, don't go so smooth and can get very difficult. So it's, So I think we just looked at the right things, making the right things important. And I think then it goes. That's why it goes so smooth. Yeah.
What would you say the main points, what changed since you are working together?
Ch- changed in our companies or changed?
Yeah, you can you can choose. So in the company or in your personal work, what would you say that was one of the main things that really changed since we had this work together?
Well, for me, one thing that has changed is that I'm not the only yoga entrepreneur anymore in our company. It's, of course, a difference having, I mean, I have great colleagues at Yoga Easy, but it's different to have this entrepreneur next to, by my side, basically, now. That's wonderful. And of course, it does make a difference that it's a woman. It could be a man also. It could work very well. But it is easy that it's a woman. The exchange is even deeper, and it's even easier to do business together, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I feel the same. Absolutely. And it's freed me a little bit as well to focus a bit more on content, but it's lovely, and I feel supported. You know, I don't feel alone anymore, carrying what I've been carrying for the last couple of years. So it's the support, and I'm 100% pretty sure that it's a lot easier having a woman by my side. I'm not sure. It feels, yeah, I feel. We have done that really nicely. And I mean, of course, it could have gone perfectly fine the other way, but I'm really enjoying it this way right now.
I also love that we've become even more international. Obviously, our company language was English before the merge, because especially in the IT software development team, there's a few people who don't speak German. So we had made that switch before, but it's a different feeling when you have, of course, a European team now. And Eckhart Yoga is, being an English language company, even more international, of course, than we were before. Like one employee is in Israel, and they come from all sorts of different backgrounds, and we all enjoy that a lot.
Yeah, nice. What I like a lot about working together with Sabine, for example, is that I'm always learning something from her, which is obvious in work relations. You learn from each other. But I think if women are doing like a project together on the same line and working together day by day, there's a lot you learn. So what would you say, if you mentioned it's 1 year now, what did you learn the last year when you started working together, what you didn't know before? Something really new where you would say, okay, no, I didn't have that skill or that quality before.
Cool.
I can start. I learned Esther is really good at nonviolent communication. It's actually now one of our three pillars of our work culture. We have to start thinking a little bit about not just doing it, but also how to put it into words and maybe even write it down, how our company culture works. And nonviolent communication has become one of it. And I can really see in difficult conversations how Esther is. I'm trying my best, but I'm not as skilled as Esther. And it is really great to watch her, how she does it. So I learn a lot.
Give us an example, Esther. Is there an example around that? How in a discussion or something?
Yeah. So, for example, nonviolent communication is really about you make an observation of something. Well, first of all, it's really about that you put yourself in another person's place, the ability to do that. Otherwise, nothing will happen. So I think that's step number one. A lot of people forget about it, but can I just stop for a moment if you're in a difficult situation with a colleague or something, and just just put myself there. And why is that person doing the way the person is doing something? And then, if you communicate, it's really about observation. So you are very specific in what you're saying. You're not saying something like you always submit your reports late, but you're saying something more like, I noticed that the last two reports you submitted were late. Which is a completely different thing. So you're very careful about the language you're using and the way you say something. And you also explore your feelings a little bit. You say about what it does to you, not like, so I feel anxious when, or it makes me feel insecure when this happens. So you keep it here. And and then there's a need. So you express what you want from that person, but also specifically, and not I need him, he or she to do something to make me feel better, but this is what I need to feel better, or this is what I need to be able to work really well here, you know. So it's and then of course there is a request that you can make. So there's these four steps, and when you are in a situation where you have to discuss something difficult with someone and you keep these four really close to you, the conversation always goes right, because you leave someone in their value, you know. So it's about the person being able to hear what you're saying. Otherwise, yeah, there is nothing happening anyway. So is that helpful?
Yeah.
And I think that's what that's about. So it makes all the difference in a company culture and in hearing each other and being able to help each other achieve the same goals together. And And for me, on your question, like the way Henrike leads has been great, because I've always been half in it. And to see and how much she, I mean, I've of course care about my people, but to see how much she cares and she takes time for everyone to see, is everybody happy in what they're doing? And just that the more business aspect has been really helpful. And also understanding how to give space for people to be able to, I mean, that's also very nonviolent communication, is give them a moment to process their emotions, to be able to speak out, say what they need to say, and not, I mean, that's what you've been doing, very receptive, not being able, needing to fix stuff immediately, but just letting that be and then listening. And then, you know, there is that space for ideas and ways forward and things like that. And I can see how that works and how you do that with your team and with my team now, which is great. Yeah.
Thank you. There is, when I prepared the interview yesterday, that I always have a time where I'm thinking through the questions and the people who are coming, or usually the one person who is coming. And I realized, or for me, it was like this, that, okay, we're talking about business, obviously, and there's women coming, and we're also talking about yoga. And for me, when I started working, for me, business was never a soft term. It was always like a term that came with hard work and a lot of work, and had also to do with pressure. And I like to work a lot. I love work, but I needed to change it in my mind and for my understanding. And I was thinking yesterday, how that was for you, Henrike, because you had been in big companies, you had leading positions, you founded your own company. Was it from the beginning a different understanding of business also when you started, that you knew, okay, business is not like always what we also said at the beginning, being the hard way and to discuss hard? Or was it something that changed over the years and that you changed for yourself and did Yoga Easy play a role in this?
I don't think it has changed that much. I started doing business in good companies where people treated each other with respect. So yes, maybe the style of discussion, it was certainly different than what we're doing now at Yoga Easy. Mm-hmm. Part of it is that there's more women also in the leadership positions, and part of it is the topic, yoga, of course.
Yeah.
It is an important part of our company culture.
Mm-hmm.
But the business part is actually not that different. Mm-hmm. I guess we've taken even more of the, I'm almost going to say, business bullshit bingo out of it. Which I think is also, females tend to do that, to like that more, to avoid that,
yeah.
I guess. But the business part was actually, I thought it was the same. I must say that in the years of, the more experience I have, the more confident I am just being myself. And of course, from the beginning in Yoga Easy, I didn't have to report to anyone, impress anyone, trying to convince people that I, although I'm smiling and laughing a lot, I still mean business and I'm still serious, or things like that, that even if I don't have to sell myself because maybe the person next to me is doing the same thing and I have to keep up. So it's also just part of being an independent founder that mm-hmm. changed the culture, because I can just be myself. It is not easier or less number oriented or less tough or anything or less work mm-hmm. at all. It's just we are focusing not on politics, not on these things. That's also just part of being a small company. Of course, it's easier in a small company. You can invite me back in 5 years when we're a global yes. yoga family, and then
we will do that.
Yeah, and then it will be much more difficult to keep mm-hmm. this culture alive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So no, I think it has started from the beginning. Personally, I have changed in these 10 years. Through contact with more yoga. I had just started yoga myself when I founded the company. I was an internet manager. I did not do a lot of yoga. I had started it because of back pain and I loved it. And it was, but it then over the last 10 or 20, 12 years, it slowly started to change me as a person. So I guess if someone would have watched me from the beginning, they must have seen maybe also a change of being calmer, more relaxed, staying calm in difficult situations, and being happier and more grateful even. I mean, I was happy before. But I think the business culture was just not so different in the beginning because of yoga.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't a yogi, basically, in the beginning. I became one.
Yeah. And how that is a nice way into talking about yoga a little bit more. And Esther, what do you remember the time before you became a yogi, and what it changed to you, what it does to you?
Sure. Although I started really early, so I had a mother who got into yoga. So that was in my early teens. And so I could maybe even say more that I could remember the time before yoga for my mother. So I know the yeah. woman my mother was, and then became almost more than myself because I got into it so early. And, mm-hmm. And yeah, so before yoga came into her life, she didn't have an easy life. So she was not looking after herself the best. And she was looking after us perfectly fine, but, you know, not so good for herself. And she had a difficult life. And I saw her through yoga relaxing and looking after herself better and becoming more available for us. So I saw a big, big difference. So that got me into yoga. So yeah. From 12, 13 onwards, I sneaked into the yoga room with her and practiced. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, I mean, it's been always kind of almost there for me. And of course, at the same time, when I started studying or traveling, you leave it a little bit and you pick it back up. But yeah, absolutely. It's it makes the biggest difference to move, and it makes the biggest difference to go inside and beginning to understand that happiness is not always out there, but that you can change something in here to feel different. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is this the thing you want to bring to people through yoga?
Yes. So I've always seen, especially when yoga became more my profession, at that time I was living in Ireland, I just saw the need for people to have help on their spiritual path, you know, whether it is through yoga or meditation, something that helps them find happiness within and get that experience. And that's what I tuned into, but not only tuned into from a business perspective, that's where my love light as well. You know, I studied psychology and psychotherapy and was working as a therapist, was working as a massage therapist, was working as a yoga teacher. And I was just really that all when I started Eckhart Yoga, or at that point it was still yogatic. It was tuning into that, like, oh, people really need help. And how can I give it to them on a broader scale than from my little studio in Ireland? Yeah.
There is often the discussion that how business and yoga suit together. For me, there's no question about it, but I think you are both two really good voices to answer that also. Why people have an issue with that, I'm sometimes asking myself. So there's discussions about even how much they pay for a yoga class, how much a teacher is earning, what she or he is earning at the end, and why that all needs to be a business, and how it developed over the last years, became a business and became more. It turns about what we are wearing doing yoga and which mat we are using and all these side effects. But apart from the perhaps also not so good side effects, what is your opinion about why for sure it has to be a business and it can be a good business bringing something good into the world?
Well, I think if it's a good business, then it can grow, it can, and it can bring more good things to more people. A good business is something great that provides something that wouldn't exist otherwise. So there's nothing bad with that. We are all our lives are made so much better and easier because some businesses are successfully providing us with very important things. And of course, there's the downside of over commercializing things. That's, for example, if you think of food, there's the good business of, let's say, organic, healthy food being sold, a nice restaurant that serves you. They wouldn't be able to do that they wouldn't be able to earn a living. And then there's great companies that have grown that can provide very good food for you. And then on the other side, there's the big food industry that is selling cheap fat, sugar, salt, and stolen water that make us sick. And then, of course, that's not a good thing. But that it's a business, it just makes sure that all the interests align, like it's from economics citation that it's good for you if the baker bakes bread because it's in his own interest and not to make you happy, because it's just the you will be sure that he'll bake bread every morning and you're not dependent on him providing it. I hope you still see the analogy with the yoga business, but it's a good thing. A yoga teacher needs to be able to live doing their job. And if Yoga Easy grows, it would be my opinion that that's great for the world of yoga, because we provide fantastic yoga videos and we can build apps that maybe other people cannot build. And hopefully that's of good use for also for yoga, for the world of yoga, not only, for our customers.
Yeah, we would not have been able to reach the amount of people that we have reached if it wasn't a business. And that's been always one of my biggest goals, is to bring this to as many people as possible, you know, the benefits of this practice, this beautiful practice. And there's no way I could have done that if I wouldn't have been able to also make money off it to live. And I wouldn't have been able to do it if I didn't have my amazing team, you know, the team that's always helped, and they need to live to do it. So it's just like that. And the people we've reached, you know, people who, especially with this online business, people who wouldn't be able to come to classes because of financial reasons, maybe because of where they live, maybe because of their self-image, not wanting to go in a class, not feeling they were capable of being with people and still doing the practice, people living in remote places. And the amount of love letters I've received over the years of people having so much, I mean, love letters of students, of people having so much benefit, and, you know, it's saving their lives and transforming who they are and how they are in life is amazing. So it's absolutely valuable. And I understand that whole thing about spirituality isn't supposed to make money, but, you know, I think otherwise yoga would have been for the very few. And the way this way yoga has made it been, we've made it available, all of us in the yoga business too.
I do think that you have to be especially ethical and aware of good business practices if you're in the yoga business, because you're dealing with very personal experiences. And I do think it makes a little bit of a difference, probably. Of course, personally, I was in other businesses before, and all of those tried to be very ethical in their businesses. But it's especially important if you're in the yoga business.
So if we would zoom in, a typical workday, I think they are not typical workdays anymore because they are changing so much. But if we zoom into your working days, where is the yoga? Where does the yoga takes place? Is it like, do you have rituals, routines every morning before you start? Do you do something at lunch break? Or is it like, no, there's also days without, there's just a short breath, and then next day there's a longer practice. So give us a little insight into this, which is, I think, also interesting for women in business jobs using the platform or getting into touch with yoga in a certain way of integrating it into daily life.
Yeah. So for me, I always spend some time in the morning on something, and depending on the amount of time I have. So, but there's always going to be some meditation. I mean, always, but generally speaking, there are the days, of course, that I too forget or don't get to it. But mostly speaking, so mostly it's for me a sitting practice, and then movement happens later on. And for me, it's just to help my mind cope with what the rest of the day brings. So, and also to stay a nice person. It helps. And I believe very much in yoga off the mat too. I like that term. So that we remember to breathe and remember most of all to be present, and there's this term called sacred pause, you know, that you take this moment again before you respond to something, or when you need to, just a quick check, what's my nervous system doing? Am I in fight flight? Can I bring myself back to a state of safety and connection so I can be available for what happens? So there's all these little moments during the day that you can do something, or 5 minute shake out of the body to get the energy flowing. So yeah, I think there's the practice on the mat, which then is my laboratory. Yeah? So mm-hmm. I really bring there what I need to bring to the day, and then during the day I remember. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice. I don't do yoga every morning or even some sort of practice. I try to, on most work days, I move in the morning, but it can be a run, mm-hmm. watching the sunrise over the Alster Lake. mm-hmm. About once or twice a week, I do a short yoga practice, usually with mm-hmm. Yoga Easy. But my main yoga practice is on the weekend, where I go mm-hmm. every day to a 90-minute yoga class in real life. During the workday, it's probably breathing that connects me most to the yoga practice. In between, to calm myself down, I get excited or a little stressed, or just my system goes up, and it helps me to calm down. We also do, as a team, we do once or twice a week a meditation from our platforms. And for example, when we have a meeting with the Eckhart Yoga team together, then a lot of times we start with a meditation led by Esther, and we all love that. So I think the Eckhart Yoga team has been doing that more often before, so we have adopted that. And then if you were to visit us in our office, which I invite you to do, Simone, you can see some people, you know, doing social media content on the mat, or someone meditating, or people walking around barefoot at least.
Nice.
So there's space. Sometimes we have one of our yoga teachers lead a class for the team. But our normal, and my normal work day, you wouldn't really think that I'm necessarily in the yoga business, I guess.
Thank you, but really nice, because both different, and that's really good, because it shows it doesn't need to be, but it can be, and it is really individual. There's more and more questions coming up. Esther, what changes if there's a group of people working together, there's a team, what is the biggest change that you see after doing a short meditation first, instead of like how the most Germans and most of the business people would do, okay, that's the topic, let's go, 20 minutes, 25, sharp on time. What is the main effect?
I feel sort of a sinking of energy, if you can say it that way. So you come out of your head into your body. So the mind takes a step back. So there's more, there's everybody's calmer, everybody's quieter. Everybody talks a little bit more from the heart, from the body, less worry, less problems. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I always see big smiles on everybody's faces after the meditation. So it's also a positive energy that you notice in the room.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And then you mentioned already there is the platform, there's online yoga, and you're using the meditations, you're using the classes. But we also heard there's also practice on the mat, 90 minutes, I guess it's in a studio. So how do you see that? Because I'm a big, when the yoga world turned a little bit during Corona in online teaching, I was really happy about that. I thought, that's good, that's perfect, it can go on, I put this headset, doesn't matter, I like online, I do it. And after a while I was, I'm a little bit like a dancing secretary with this thing here. I'm getting a little bit, I want to be more with the students. I want to touch people more. I don't want to be, I felt a little bit like I'm doing gymnastics here in front of the camera. It's getting weird. But even though I love that there is the possibility of doing it online on days where we cannot go out, where we need to care for the kids, there's a tough morning. But still, I'm loving the fact of being outside in a studio and enjoying a class. How is that for you and how you are merging all that in?
Yeah, I think there's room for both and there needs to be both. I think online yoga should never be just online yoga. That would be a big loss for everyone in the world. You know, there should always be studio classes and there should always be connection. And there's something special that you'll not find online. And at the same time, of course, there's some things you find online that you can't find in a studio. But for me, both is needed. I also go once a week to a live class here in Portugal, and have a cup of tea afterwards with the ladies. You know, it's just that that connection and that togetherness. So I think it needs each other. Well, at least that's how it is at the moment. You know, the online can keep your regular practice going. It can help you do it daily or more often, or help, because I think a lot of people otherwise wouldn't practice beyond the live studio class because they wouldn't know what to do. They might not remember. It's hard to do it by yourself. So it's a wonderful, wonderful way to be able to be led that way. But yeah. So for me, it's studio connections, of course, always going to be very important.
Yeah, the goal with online yoga is to bring more yoga into the daily lives of people, because it is just possible to fit more in than if you would only have the studio practice. For myself, it's exactly like you said. I go to a real life studio on the weekends. It's for me a bit like going to church. And I need the community, the presence of the teacher, and I enjoy it. But also there's a second mode I'm in if I want to do yoga, and that is I enjoy being by myself, focusing just on myself, and then I do not need other people around me. On the contrary, I enjoy this, because I'm usually around a lot of people, which I love, but I also need to recharge. And then I have this room and it's just me, and I get sort of hypnotized by the voice and the music, and I can just close my eyes and just do the practice and enjoy. So that is two different situations, and I couldn't tell you which one is better. And it was never our goal to replace the real life experience. On the contrary, if you are able to do online yoga in addition to your yoga studio visit, you will go back more often to the studio. You will practice, you will find your way, your yoga journey will be more consistent, and you will not drop out, and you will be more often in the long term in the studio, I think.
Yeah.
And online yoga is, of course, also a reaction to the market, to not the market, but to life. Life getting busier, not everybody being able to go. So it started to arise for a reason. And I think never to replace, just to be able to do that too.
Yeah. And what I like also is that it gives us the chance to practice with certain teachers. People who like David Lurie can find him now on your platform. They did it perhaps on a retreat, and they only don't want to see him just twice a year. They can do it every day if they want. I think that's also a nice chance, because this principle of there's one teacher and I'm practicing with every year, for example, if we have kids or something, this is getting so complicated because lives are not like they had been like 20, 40 or 50 years ago. I think that is also a really nice thing. Coming to the platform, you are talking to somebody and you are telling them, hey, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm having this yoga platform, and they say, oh yeah, that's interesting. Sometimes people react like that. They hear, oh, you're doing a magazine, nice. What should I read? Oh, where I can find it? What do you tell the person what to try first? What is your not every day go to, but what is a thing, a class, a program, a teacher, a learning thing where you would say, that's so nice, you will love it?
Really, I think what I would probably actually say is try out a bunch of teachers to find the ones that talk to you, you know. So I might see, okay, what are you looking for? What would you like? And try to point them in the right way. But because I think mm-hmm. it's so personal, mm-hmm. it makes such a big difference to find the right voice or the right voices. There's always more.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely get in there and move. Don't get lost in reading or looking for too many things. Just do it. Just click a class, do it, and you'll feel better. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Enrique?
I would say, well, if you are on Eckhart Yoga, definitely practice with Esther. And if you're on Yoga Easy, the German part, I could recommend two teachers that are very different from each other and that are both extremely popular with our subscribers. So maybe do a morning practice with Nina Heidmann. She has the most mesmerizing voice and a very, very good sequencing. Or Nicole Bongartz also, who you already interviewed. And then maybe do a practice with Anna Trückes. She's just our hero and star on the platform. And you can do meditation, pranayama, and very invigorating practices with her, also hear her talk about philosophy, and you always learn something new with her. So these would be my recommendations to start.
Yeah, really nice. All three of them. Really good. If the people are checking out now after this interview, is it that they found already the international teachers on Yoga Easy, or how is it going? Because you said now on Yoga Easy, on Yoga Eckhart, is it already everything together at one place and they can find all the different teachers under one URL?
We are still working on the web transition. That's the most mm-hmm. complicated one. Mm-hmm. But the apps are already available in both languages.
Cool. So then going over the app, that's the...
Exactly. Mm-hmm. The Apple App Store, the Google Play Store, download the app and then you can find both languages.
Perfect. What would you say where are we going with the yoga practice? Is there something like a trend in 2024, or are you saying, oh my gosh, no, there is no trends in yoga or something like that? Or is there a certain direction where we are going?
I think there's probably more trends. One that I'm aware of right now is there's a lot of emphasis on nervous system work, polyvagal theory, both I think in meditation and in yoga, is just using it to bring ourselves to a state of receptivity and connection and safety so that we can show up better in the world, you know, for our meetings, for our work. But also, you can imagine if you meditate and you're in a fight flight, you're not getting anywhere. So how do I bring myself into a state where I can actually fully show up for whatever I'm about to do? And I think, and I love that about the trend, is that more and more of these practices are being used to balance ourselves. So that not just to do it for the doing, because if you're doing the wrong practice that doesn't fit where you are at the moment for your nervous system, it's not actually going anywhere. You know, it doesn't change anything. It doesn't mm-hmm. change your chemistry or the way you feel. So that's a trend that I see. But I mean, I'm very aware that what you look up, you know, you get more of. So it's so I'm sure there's more going on. But I know that's definitely something that's happening at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you see anything else, Enrique, as well, or?
I see two trends that you would think would be conflicting, but somehow they are not. The first one is many young people have arrived at yoga. So in a BD yoga study from August, you can see that not 5% of people are practicing yoga anymore, but 20%. So that's a lot. And among 18 to 24 year olds, it's 45%. And I think they are doing very challenging and athletic yoga at times. But at the same time, those people grew up with yoga and spirituality more part of the mainstream culture. So they also want to sing mantra and meditate before doing yoga. So it's not an either or. They want the whole package, but of course, those people might prefer very athletic yoga. I personally do it myself as well right now, but that can change very quickly. The other trend is yin yoga. People love yin yoga, restorative, and also meditation. So the other side is growing as well. So I think the variety is growing. People are getting more things from the yoga practice and appreciating mm-hmm. different types of yoga at different times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The love letters, Esther, that you received, or the thank you letters where people say, or I was missing that, that helped me so much, that was so good. What do you think, if you put all of them together, what is it what people are mainly looking for? And that suits a little bit also to the answer that Henrike gave now. So there's on one side the need for sports and movement and challenging practice, which I also have. And then on the other side, there is, I really need to rest. I need to lay down. I'm doing a nidra practice, a yin yoga practice. And what are you figuring out how that suits together with what people are writing there?
What people are writing is usually about the more the psychological state. So they are writing about connection, finding happiness, dealing with their sadness, finding an outlet, someone that they feel understands them, someone that's always there on the other side of the screen, you know, that's there every day. So, and they, what brings them there, of course, is the movement. So for some, that will be the very active yoga. And for some, that will be the more soft yoga or the meditation. That I don't know, that they don't talk about so much. But what they talk about, what they write is all about, you were there when I needed you. You know, I started feeling myself again. I started connecting with my emotions. Finally I could cry. Finally there's space in me, or I feel a community. So it's basically one word, connection, I think.
Connection and community.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Connection and community. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the same thing with us. We especially hear that from our life class visitors. Mm-hmm. We offer a full life class online schedule now, and we started a few life classes during the pandemic, of course, and this has been really a lifesaver for people, I think. The ability to connect. And you can connect with on demand. Like, absolutely. It can help you to connect with a teacher, even if it's not at the exact same time. But obviously, with a live class, you can see the other people and you can talk directly to the teacher. That's for some people. It's not for everyone, but for some people, that is really the best way to do online yoga.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So one more question before we have the last three that are the more faster ones. Esther, you mentioned, and that is really interesting, I guess, also for some people listening, the part of leading a business and teaching on your own. Did you did you got fine with that? Did you found a solution for that? Would you say there is definitely a solution and it can work out? Or did you realize perhaps there's better just one role we are finding and the combination of both is hard? Or would you say, Simona, that it's just so individual, there's no answer on that?
I'd say it's very individual, so I would not dare answer that for every woman or man doing both, or anything in between with the genders. So it's... for me, I've really enjoyed both. I've also enjoyed the combination. I think, to be honest, if I would have only personally taught yoga and just yoga, I probably would have looked for something else next to it in the beginning, because there was obviously an entrepreneur in me as well. Yeah. Otherwise, I wouldn't have started it. So I think the combination is totally possible. I had to be careful and divide it a little bit. Like, these are my hours for the business, and I have an intense meeting or a meeting that might be a little bit, you know, activating, and I can't 5 minutes later go onto the yoga mat and teach a meditation, you know. So there has to be a little bit of coming down time, and you have to be clever in making sure you give time to both. Right now I am happy to spend more time with content, but I can, and that's after doing it for a very long time both. So I'm very grateful for all of it. I'm very grateful for having been doing the business part, having been doing the yoga part, and now leaving the business part a little bit more towards Henrique and the new managing director of Eckhart Yoga. And so it's all possible. It's all possible. Of course, it's all possible. And you just need to make sure that I had to make sure, I suppose, the main reason for me it's been possible is having a strong personal practice to keep the yoga alive, to keep my meditation alive. Otherwise, I would not have been able to do it. So that's been my savior, is being very strict in having a personal daily practice mostly.
Okay. Being strict in having a personal daily practice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah. 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 Okay. What, both of you, or just one of you, you can decide, what you think, what do we need more in this world?
Do you want to go first, Annick? Oh, okay. Well, I believe more self-love is most important thing for all of, like, within companies, within families, within the broader world, because it fundamentally changes how you treat yourself and how you treat others, and of course, eventually, how you treat the world. So, you know, everybody becomes a little bit kinder. And it doesn't mean self-love is not just only positivity towards yourself. It's really also helping yourself heal. It's also being able to hold your pain and being able to look at your heartbreak and your sadness and heal. Because mm-hmm. when we are healed and when we are able to hold ourselves in this kindness, then when we are dealing with someone who is acting out of pain, we can understand, because we've looked at our own pain. So we don't have to immediately push back. We can see and put ourselves in that person's shoes and help mm-hmm. and connect with them on a different way and sort things out. So I hope that makes sense. So that for me is goes a long way.
Nice.
Yeah.
And I guess what I would like to see more of is the next step, building on what Esther said. It's empathetic communication. You can only do that when you, like, you can feel good about yourself in some way. And I think it should be taught in school. It is so much about it is just technique, learning things. What can you say or not say to make the other person feel able to have a conversation with you? And I just think this is in every area. relationship, family, work, politics, everywhere, it would help so much if there would be more. I'm having a lot of people communicate with me empathetically, but mm-hmm. I think the world could use even more of it.
Mm-hmm. Nice. What do we have enough of?
What do we have enough of?
Plenty of, too much.
Too much of the feeling that they're separate from each other. The feeling that we are not connected, I think, is running the show, is running the world at the moment, you know? And it's the most profound teaching of yoga is that we're all one, is that we are connected. And I think when we start feeling that on an experiential level, then when you hurt someone else, you're hurting yourself, isn't it? And I think we have enough people hating each other and wars and problems. And so I really feel that if we can bring back the knowing on an experiential level that we are all connected and we are all one, no one excepted. There is no exception, no exception made. We're all the same, shared humanity. Then hopefully things would change. We were not capable of hurting ourselves, others, and the world anymore. Because we have enough of that. Too much of it.
I wish there would be less pessimism or frustration with our society and maybe also politics. And I feel it too. It's really hard. But I think we need to somehow deal with it and still have a positive and constructive mindset. In yoga, it can be easy. You practice and you also get more sensitive maybe, and you feel like you want to retract from the world. You can't stand it anymore, the fights and everything. But I think you still need to keep your positivity and go out there and take action somehow because it's our world that we are shaping, and we cannot give away completely the responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nice.
Balancing our psyche.
The last... Oh, sorry.
No, I said balancing our psyches, you know? It's mm-hmm. There's so much negativity going on. We need to balance it with seeing the good and seeing the beauty and...
The last book that you read. So there's always the question for good books. A recommendation for the reader can suit to the topic, can suit to the interview, but can also be something completely else that you got inspired with the last time. So Esther, what is your go-to?
I'm reading Michael Singer at the moment, The Untethered Soul. I don't know if you know it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm being inspired by it. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's lots of insights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can recommend it.
The last book I read is maybe a bit more pragmatic, but I wrote down Michael Singer. The last book I read is called Baustellen der Nation. It is in German. And about German politics, it goes for every chapter, all the construction sites we have in our society. Mm-hmm. The two journalists, they have a great podcast as well, Lage der Nation. And they just deal with all the problems where we think, oh no, we need a solution and we're never going to agree on a solution. They go through it, they sort away the bullshit, and they sort out what needs to be done and what can be done. And you feel like, okay, it could be done, and you're much more hopeful. It is really very soothing. It's called Baustellen der Nation, and I really recommend it.
Thank you. That was really nice. Thanks a lot to both of you. That was a nice talk and a nice hour. So thanks for spending it with me. And I hope lots of people are practicing yoga with you and your wonderful teachers online.
Thank you, Simone.
Thank you for having us.
Wir sagen danke fürs Dabeisein und danke fürs Zuhören. Ich fand, das war ein sehr interessantes und entspanntes, schönes Gespräch mit den beiden. Und ich wünsche mir eigentlich, dass sie getrennt voneinander nochmal wiederkommen, weil man sowohl mit Henrike als auch mit Esther jeweils nochmal in eine ganz andere, spannende Richtung abbiegen kann. Für mich war es ein bisschen eine Herausforderung, mit einer Stunde und zwei so tollen Frauen hinzukommen, aber es hat einigermaßen gut geklappt. So, und wenn ihr euch jetzt denkt, ach Mensch, super, genau das würde ich gerne nutzen, nämlich gerne Yoga machen mit Nicole Bongartz und Anna Trökes auf Yoga Easy, gleichzeitig aber auch mal mit David Lurie durch ein tolles Vinyasa fließen auf Eckhart Yoga, dann legen wir euch die Yoga Easy App ans Herz, denn dort könnt ihr bereits beide Angebote und alle Lehrer nutzen. Das heißt, ihr findet dort die deutschen Yoga-Videos als auch die internationalen Yoga-Lehrer. Ihr könnt dort eure Sprache aussuchen und los geht's. Und das legen wir euch auch wirklich ans Herz als Zusatz zu eurer regulären Studio-Yoga-Praxis. Aber auch wenn ihr unterwegs seid, wenn ihr viel arbeitet, wenn ihr zwischendurch mal kurz Bewegung braucht. Also wir glauben, die Yoga Easy Plattform mit dem, was sie euch heute bietet, ist ein ganz toller Zusatz zu dem, was ihr vielleicht gerade schon lernt oder übt oder was ihr auch lehren wollt. Und sie hilft euch sehr gut dabei, wirklich dieses Yoga als festen Bestandteil eures Alltags zu etablieren, weil es passiert sehr, sehr schnell im heutigen vollgestopften Leben und Alltag, dass wir aus der Praxis rausfallen, und das wollen wir nicht. Und deshalb glauben auch wir von Personality Mac daran, dass eine solche Yoga-Plattform einen ganz, ganz guten und tollen und gesunden Beitrag für unser Wellbeing leistet. Wir packen euch die ganzen Links in die Shownotes und wir sagen vielen Dank an Yoga Easy, an Henrike Fröchling und Esther Eckhardt. Wir freuen uns, wenn ihr eine Bewertung zu dem Gespräch dalasst, und ich freue mich wieder, wenn ihr in der nächsten Folge dabei seid. Alles Gute und bis bald, eure Simone.
Und natürlich gibt's für alle, die tatsächlich mehr üben wollen, einen Link inklusive Rabattcode direkt in den Shownotes. Und damit könnt ihr 4 Wochen Yoga Easy gratis testen. Also einfach in die Shownotes reinschauen, auf den Link klicken und los geht's. Viel Spaß damit!